Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Matthew. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slave and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hear this parable and I am always pausing because it sounds like the master was not a very tolerant man at all. It's a sort of a dreaded sense that I get each time this passage comes up in the lectionary. The slaves, which, by the way, were actually in charge of things, I mean, they actually ran things. Their masters would go away for a very long time, sometimes for years, were in charge. And they were each given a different level, amount of talent. The text calls it money. It says talents are money. And the story seems to be about making money with your money, doesn't it? But see, the story doesn't take into account that nowadays you can only get 1% interest on your money if you put it with the bankers. You can't even get a CD that's worth anything anymore. The stock market is proven to be incredibly unreliable. You could lose what you've gained in the blink of an eye. I don't know about you, but how is your 401k doing? Has it recovered yet? So at first light, the story seems to say that if we're blessed with something from God, then we better make it bigger and better. Or there'll be gnashing of teeth and outer darkness. But at a closer glance, the story doesn't seem to be about doubling your money or your talents for God. It seems to be about risk. How can the kingdom of God come closer? Is the question. What is necessary for the realm of God to even draw near? A willingness to risk. The 2 people who were willing to risk losing gave back twice as much as they had been given, but the person who was afraid of risk and what would happen to him buried his talent in the ground and returned to the master only what he had been given in the first place. He played it safe, and playing it safe in any time, in any issue, means keeping the status quo. The status quo is often a good thing, but I remember when I was in the business world, we were always being told that the status quo was not a good thing. If you weren't moving forward, you were moving backwards. You were losing ground. That there would always have to be some kind of change in forward motion if the status quo was ever going to be changed. The guy who buried his talent, he let it atrophy. He let it lay dormant. He didn't even return what he'd been given. It was worth less, what with inflation and diminishing returns. He actually returned less than what he had been entrusted with. And in these days, I know we're all encouraged to be very careful and not take risks with many areas of our lives. My 401k is in the safest investments. I'm 60. I can't lose anymore. So not taking risks isn't always a bad thing. We need to think about when we make risks and when we don't. But this story isn't just about risk or just about money. It keeps using the word talent. Now, talent isn't the same thing that it says in the text. For us, talents are things that we think we're good at, or maybe things that we wish we were good at. I mean, 4 years ago, I took up the piano. A few years ago, Lance took up the guitar. We're not very good, but we love it. He's better than I am, actually. Yeah. You'll never see me play in here. That's how good I am. But it's about developing talents. It's about taking risks. It's about learning something new, even in your old age. So the question is what talents do you have? What are your gifts? What would you like to learn or be good at? What would you like to share or give back? I fear too often that we bury those things in the ground also, all those talents. Rather than making them an offering to God, we do not want to risk, so we grab our talents and we bury them deep, deep, deep where the Spirit of God cannot find it and blow new life into it. The story uses the image of burying a talent in the ground, but I think for us today, I found a better metaphor. I think I found something that is more appropriate to our culture and our time, and that is space bags. Does everybody know what space bags are? Do you know what a space bag is? Do you watch TV? Okay. Space bags are those things on TV. You can get like 1,000 of them if you buy right now, 2,000 if you bought 2 minutes ago. And they come in all different sizes. And you take all your stuff, your linens, your clothes that you never wear anymore, and you put them in these bags, and then you hook them up to a vacuum cleaner, and you suck all the air out of the bag so the bag is flat. And then you can put it in a closet or under a bed. You can bury it wherever you want. It's kind of like whoosh. And you got to be careful. If there's any people around, you can put them in the bag. Just stick them in a closet. You know, I've had enough of that. They're actually pretty good stuff. Lance and I like space bags. We admit we do. You can just stuff a whole bunch of stuff, compact, control, and conserve. Just think what you can do with an entire linen closet. See, the bags are guaranteed to protect from moth and mildew, keeping all of our treasures safe, our talents from harm, from anything from outside elements. They claim to be airtight, waterproof, they can triple your storage, and they have a patented one-way valve. So what it says to me is that they keep our treasures and our talents from all the harm that we wouldn't ever want to expose them to. But the problem with space-bagged theology is that it doesn't seem very biblical to me. See, when Jesus told the parable of the talents, he definitely was saying, don't hide your talents. Don't bury them in the ground to keep them safe. Don't return in them God being worth even less than what God entrusted to you in the first place. No, we shouldn't think of what we have in this life as something to compact, control, and conserve. We don't need something that's airtight, that attempts to keep the Holy Spirit from moving around it. And how about that one-way valve? You know, God invites us every single moment into relationship, but it's always an invitation. It's never an order. The valve has to work both ways. That one-way valve, you can stop God from coming into your life. It's actually pretty simple. Just shut it down. That's it. I'm going to control, compact, conserve. And what about the fact that they're waterproof? You saw some water today. Were you moved to tears when you saw that water? That transforming water of baptism? You don't want to keep something waterproof. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will blow where it will, bringing new life to everything. But I think that's everything except what we've been stored up, sucked dry of life and breath, and buried under a bed. See, the Spirit wants us all to bust loose and bloom and be bountiful. Like having 20 people join and 9 baptisms. That's the Holy Spirit. It is quite the opposite of sucking the air out and putting something safely on a shelf. Our lives are meant to grow, not shrink. The church is meant to grow, not shrink. So what are your talents? What's lying dormant? What have you buried and sucked all the life out of? We all do it. We all do it. But the question is how can your talents be gifts to the realm of God, the kingdom of God, by offering your talents to them? It is risk. That is certain. And the parable tells us that when we risk, we enter into the joy of our master. I think about what would make God joyful. Many things. But blooming and blossoming, love for one another, the Holy Spirit creating new possibilities in every single life that is here and in every single place where people gather in the name of God. Our service commitment is part of our stewardship as disciples of Christ, to take those talents and to use them until they are more than double what we have been given in the first place. After all, brothers and sisters, how many of you really look forward to a dried up, shrunken life? You know, you put those things in those space bags. When they come out, they're awfully wrinkled. And I don't know about you, but I work really hard not to have a wrinkled life. We represent Christ in the world. We can't afford to be compact. We can't afford to control and conserve. God always calls us to risk. So put away the vacuum cleaner. No sucking the air out of your very special life. Bust loose and bloom and be bountiful. And let the Spirit blow where it may. Amen.